So, Mark, what was the last book you read?
I just finished listening to the second Magnus Chase book by Rick Riordan, The Hammer of Thor.
Thor.
Shaking Fist. And in it, Thor's like a complete fuck up and he lost his hammer. And then it means that there's like, you know, problems for the Asgardians. Yay. It's actually really fun. I liked it. I like all the Percy Jackson books. Yay, new books.
Is that like the first one in that series? Or?
It's the second book. Magnus, whose cousin is Annabeth from the Percy Jackson books, he gets taken to Valhalla, and he ends up having to fight monsters and such from the Norse mythology, and they are waiting around for Ragnarok to happen. So they are training to fight at Ragnarok and such, and it's fun, and I liked it.
Can you jump into those books if you've never read the Percy Jackson books or anything?
They're self-contained. They're self-contained in their own series, but, like, there's nods to the other series. Like, the fact that Magnus is Annabeth's cousin. And, like, they kind of nod at, like, oh, well, like, all the Norse gods are in Boston, but all the Greek gods, they're in New York, you know, at the Empire State Building. So it's, like, their own little world. But they all take place in the same universe, so...
And what would you rate that book if you gave it a rating?
I gave it a rating?
Yeah.
I don't know. They're really enjoyable. I'd say, like, four stars.
Four out of five?
Yeah. They're enjoyable. They're really enjoyable.
Okay. You mentioned earlier that you're doing another... Did we consider it escape room thing?
I call it escape room.
Well, first start out... can you explain what escape rooms are to people?
So, escape rooms are a kind of game where you and your group of, like, five or six people, you're locked in a room, and they're usually themed around something, and you're given an allotted amount of time where you have to solve puzzles in order to find the way out of the room. So, like, you have to find the code to open a door or the keys to open a door or something like that. For my reasons, I can't lock the teens in a room. So we sort of modify it. And the last one I did over the summer was a Doctor Who themed one where we had I had a locked box and I told them that this scientist was researching and he stumbled across a conspiracy in the lab he worked at where the lab was holding a robot prisoner. And it was on the loose, and it was screaming exterminate. So I told them, like, they have to get this box open to find the only thing that'll stop the robot from exterminating everybody. And when they finally opened it, it had a sonic screwdriver.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, which, I mean, I know those don't stop Daleks, but it was, like, you know, just for fun. And, like, I had a giant cardboard cutout of a Dalek and stuff.
Did the kids, were they able to finish it and everything?
I ran three groups through it, and two finished it within the allotted time, and one did not.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so, and, like, we had different... I found websites where you could, like, print off fake news articles and, like, stuff like that, and, like, I used invisible ink to write a message on the back of a poster, and I gave them a black light, and they had to, like, find the puzzles and stuff. So I'm working on another one for January, and this one's going to be Sherlock-themed. Yay!
Did you make your own invisible ink?
I did make my own invisible ink. I found it on Instructable, where you take a highlighter, and you take the core out of the highlighter, like the actual ink part of it, and you put it in a bowl of water and run it through the microwave. That shit worked.
And then you write with it. And
yep, and it dries, and you can't see it, and then you put a black light over it, and it works. Yeah.
Highlighters are good for it. It's like the thing about keeping a master copy for something. Like, you always write master copy on it, and then when you go to make a copy of it, the copier, it won't show up.
Yeah, a yellow highlighter.
Yeah, a yellow highlighter. Yeah. It won't show up.
And I was able to put my escape room together pretty cheaply. There are paid packages that you can get. There's Breakout EDU. Like, it's like $100, and you buy, like, a prepackaged escape room game to use in the classroom. But I don't have any money. So I scrounged through my office for, like, I found a broken clock that we used as a clue. And I had a Dalek that I made from recycled materials and a TARDIS that I made from a science fair board from a previous program. And then I scrounged up other stuff, too, to make it look like a scientist's office. And, like, I had, like, glass vials and stuff from other things. And then I had, we did a geocaching program, so I had a plastic ammo can that you could put a lock on. And that was our escape room box. And we just so happened to have a Sonic screwdriver.
And the one you're going to do this time is Sherlock-themed?
It's Sherlock-themed. So I'm looking into, like, clues and stuff that I can use. The thing is, like, I just want to be careful that I don't go overboard with, like, the thematic nature of it. Because, like, if not, all the kids are familiar with Sherlock and it's reliant on the clues. But I want to have stuff that, like, looks like Sherlock. So I want to get a plastic skull. Because, you know, he, like, has a skull randomly in his apartment. And, I definitely need a deerstalker hat, so, like, Amazon's got one pretty cheap, and I need that. And then I found an origami pattern to make the Black Lotus, so I want to make those. And, well, I'm scrounging stuff up right now. Like, I have caution tape, and, I had crocheted eyeballs that I had already made, and then I have some plastic severed fingers from Halloween, so, like kind of murdery stuff. Shrug. Murder. <That's pretty cool. laughs> So I'm working on that right now, and it's, like, it's really fun. I found a really good packet online from another librarian that did an escape room program, and it helped to visually map out what I need to do and everything.
That's really cool. So,
we had fun last time.
And you did it, assuming your second time
doing it. This is our second one that we're going to do.
Oh, that's really cool. And like you talked about earlier, like, it seems like more libraries are doing it.
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of people online doing it, and there were actually, like, the state library, the Department of State, I don't know how to say it. It's not the Library Association, but it's, like, actually the state library for the state of Florida. They actually just ran a webinar on doing escape rooms, too.
That's
and
cool.
I was like, ha, I'm ahead of the curve. Yay!
Yeah. I think it's really cool to do it. Like, I know they have, like, the business ones that everybody can go to and pay into.
Which I've still never been to one.
That kind of interests me, but kind of doesn't, too, because it's, like, what if you're not good at it? It's just going to be like, it's going to be a
pain. I really want to go to one.
But there's one, isn't it a zombie escape room that's
Yeah, there's one on iDrive, and that looks really fun.
Yeah,
see,
cool.
I want to do it. It looks really fun. And, like, when I did mine with the kids, like, I put the Google timer up on the projector, so it was, like, big on the wall, so they could see, like, they were running out of time.
Oh, that's cool.
And I made the sign, so, like, we took pictures at the end of each team running through it, like, the ones where it's like, I'm a genius, nailed it, you know, like, all that stuff. And then I had one that had, like, frowny face, and it was, like, they weren't, like, super mean ones, but it was, like, we didn't win, that kind of thing.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, we did the whole thing, and it was really fun, even though I couldn't lock them in the room. And I tried to explain escape room programs to some other folks that work in libraries, and they looked at me like I was an idiot, crazy person.
Well, I think, like, probably the easiest way to just tell them is, like, what's an obstacle course of puzzles, basically, is what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I just, like, I grow impatient with people that are not familiar with things that are, like, pretty common knowledge. Like, not just, like, everyday folks, but, like, fellow librarians that are unaware of trends. Like, I get really upset about that. Like, how do you not know this is a thing? You know, like, well, are you that out of touch with shit?
Well, escape rooms.
I'm sorry, I'm a real bitch about this kind
of
thing.
I think a lot of people don't know about escape rooms because, like.
But they're everywhere. Like, you could literally throw a rock around here and hit, like,
yeah, here they are. But if you go, like, where I'm from, there's not going to be no escape
like,
rooms.
I'm just,
in
like,
a lot of other places.
For serious, like, it just aggravates me because, like, I have a lot of fellow librarians around here that say things to me like, oh, you have all the luck with the teens and blah, blah, blah. Like, they always say it's luck, and I'm like, no, I work really, really hard to do this, and a lot of times I'll put a ton of effort into a program and only one kid shows up. So I just get kind of defensive about it. I'm like, how do you not know that escape rooms are a popular thing? And that ended up being, like, one of our best programs ever. They had so much fun. They actually asked to do another one, so.
You getting programs coming up after that one?
After that one? Let's see, that's January, because Sherlock comes back. In February, we're doing an anti-Valentine's Day party.
Like, what are you going to do with that?
I don't know yet. They asked to do one.
you should do, like, maybe books that are, like you, that where the couple don't get back together or something like that.
Well, who am I kidding? Like, at most of our programs, it is not books anymore. Like, we rarely talk about books anymore.
You can do movies, too. You can do
They just like to come and, like, socialize, and I'm fine with that. Because the teens so rarely have a place to do that.
Oh, you know what you could do? You could do, like, you get, like, different people from movies or books or whatever, and couples, but then let them mash them up.
Yeah.
And they don't talk about
it. Well, and one of the games that they really enjoy playing, because most of our programs center around tabletop gaming now, it's something that they really like to do, and they've asked me to add one night a month where it's tabletop games. So we're going to start that in January, too, is like the first week is our book club, quote unquote, which is really just fandom stuff now. And then the second week is going to be tabletop gaming. But they like this game called Slash, which it's in the Creative Commons. I found it online. And it plays like Cards Against Humanity and Apples to Apples. But the way you're playing is that somebody puts down a character from a fictional character. Actually, they're not even all fictional, because I'll relate how this worked out to us. They're popular figures and characters from things. And the players put down their match for what would be the best slash fiction, like who they ship together. So that you're trying to pair up the most ideal couple. And it gets kind of rowdy, like Apples to Apples and Cards Against Humanity. So they really enjoy it. But they play that one a lot when we put out the games. But the best combination that they came up with by far was the Doctor and Michelle Obama. Like, they really, really loved that combination. So, like, that's, like, a thing that gets brought up, like, every single time. It's, like, the Doctor and Michelle Obama, yay! They crack me up. Those kids really crack me up.
The book in this, maybe you can talk about, like, a book you're currently reading right now.
A book I'm currently reading right now. That's a long story filled with sighs.
What?
I am listening to the final book in the
House. You know, you don't have to clarify listening to.
I feel like I do, actually, because so many folks don't seem to appreciate that audiobooks are, like, real literature.
Yeah, but there's a thing going on right now where people are using that clarifier to say that's not reading. There's
well,
a thing
I
going
consider
on
it
right
reading. So, come at me, bro, if you don't think it's reading. But I'm listening to the final book in the How to Train Your Dragon series. Now, this book came out last year, but I refused to read it because I listened to the entire series, and they're narrated by David Tennant. They're fucking phenomenal, okay? Like, he's amazing. He's Hiccup Horrendous Haddock III from Little Island of Burr. And I'm just really, really excited to finish the series. But I'm also prepared to be devastated because, and this is not a secret, so it's not a spoiler. The way the very first book starts out is because it's old Hiccup narrating, like, the story of his life because, you know, he's, like, a renowned Viking leader and explorer, et cetera, you know. And he's, like, when I was a boy, there were dragons. And in these stories, they coexist with the dragons. Like, they actually ride them and train them and et cetera,
yeah,
et cetera.
It's different from the movie.
Yeah, it's a little bit different from the movie.
Does the movie start out that way too with him narrating?
Yeah, it's okay. Him narrating it. He says, when I was a boy, there were dragons. And I'm just prepared for, like, it's doomsday in the book, in the last book. And I'm like, what's going to happen to the dragons? I got to know. So I'm going to cry.
I've always told you, I bet you they just go away.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. But it's like, it's leading up to a final confrontation between what they call the King of the Wilder West, which is supposed to be like, it only happens once in a great while that one Viking comes along and, like, unites all the, like, nations and stuff. And the dragons who are rising up against the humans and stuff. So it's, like, I'm prepared to be really devastated, okay? Like, and the movie devastates me every time I watch it.
Are they making another movie?
They are. It comes out in 2018, I think.
Okay. Because I know the TV shows have the regular cast from the movies in it. So they're like an official continuation.
Which I didn't want to start watching those until I finished all the books. Although it's not really a huge deal because they're very different. They change some of the characters around. They change the girl character from the book to the movie. And they changed how they interact with the dragons and stuff. There's, a lot of differences. And in the movie, they age him up really quickly, but in the books, he's still, pretty young. In the movie, he's in his, 20s, and everyone was super creepy when that happened, too, because, all of Tumblr was like, oh my god, we got Neville Longbottom by a cartoon and stuff. Guys, you're being
pretty I've only read the first book, but I actually like the movie structure and stuff better because I don't like... the books are good, and I like the fact that, the Night Fury, talks and stuff
they speak Dragonese in the books, and Hiccup is the only Viking that can understand them.
Yeah, that's good in the books, but I actually like the movie when they don't.
Yeah, and they actually act more like pets in the movie, too. If you watch Toothless, he really acts like a dog. The way he rolls around
in the
grass.
In the books, Toothless is, all attitude.
And he's tiny dragon in the books, too, and he's very naughty. He's the naughtiest dragon in the archipelago. I just really, really love How to Train Your Dragon, okay, guys?
Okay.
I really love it.
To wrap up this small episode, because, I'm recording a bunch of podcasts because I'm going to release one a day in December leading up to the release of my latest book, 10 Universe Middle Grade Series number 4. So all these will be to promote it, and you can find out about all that on 10universe.blogspot.com for all your information there. But to wrap this up, we forgot to do a song to start it, so you got anything you need today?
Fuck you. Fuck. No, I already did that one.
Got anything else?
Have you ever met my friend Cuz Bob? She's the biggest bitch in the whole wide world. She's a mean old bitch, and she has stupid hair. She's a bitch to all the boys and girls. That's it.
That's all you got?
That's all I got.
Bye. Say bye, Mar.
I see. You're cutting me off. All right.